Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, we have assembled together in this afternoon with thy word before us and the blessings of thy presence with us. We thank thee, O Lord, for the message that we have heard this morning, the reminder, O Lord, of the world that we live in and the struggles that each of us face. And we pray, O Lord, that thou would strengthen us in this day that we have set aside for worship to thee would be one that would bring thee honor and glory, that it would strengthen the inner man and create in us, O Lord, a desire and a pursuit of the conformity as we have been reminded even this morning of the conformity of Christ. So bless our gathering this afternoon, O Lord. We look to thee for all of our blessings. We know all good things come from thee, and we wait upon thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear ones, for this afternoon's reading and meditation, I'd like to turn to Psalm number 37. Psalm number 37, and let's read the first 11 verses with God's help. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. So, dear ones, this morning in the benediction, Brother Robert made a comment. He said that we are a blessed people. And we pray all the time for God's blessings. And we say that we recognize what his blessings are, for the most part. And the question really is, are we blessed? Are we? Because Jesus Christ, who preached the Sermon on the Mount, as he listed the conditions of blessings and how a child of God, who really, if we look at the entire body of the chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, we see his sermon, and we have to really conform to that sermon in order to be blessed. And so we often ask for blessings, and we pray for them. I think every prayer we pray, I know I do. I don't think that there's a prayer I pray that I'm not asking for the blessings of God upon me, upon our church and the world. And you know, you can take the Sermon on the Mount, and one of the recent presidents of the United States often referenced to the Sermon on the Mount, and he made a comment about it, and he said that it is an extremely radical body of work, that if the United States embraced it, that the Defense Department could not continue. So therefore, it's not meant to be taken literally. And so, you know, that gives a lot of people a lot of comfort, because many have read the Sermon on the Mount and have thought, well, that's impossible to do, written in its entirety. Resist not evil. Do good to those who use you, and so on. That's not doable. And so when you hear an influential man like the president say, it's not all meant to be taken literally, many in the world, as Christians, will say, yes, I can carry arms, I can defend my family, I can defend. I've heard many say that you can go ahead and you can resist evil, even though Jesus says, resist not. And so there's many things, and even, I don't know if it was in a prayer or in a benediction again this morning, but there was a reference again to for each of us to have the strength or the humility, I think was the word that was used, to confess our sins before God. Now, if we don't, if we hear that in our lives that some prominent Christian man, he's a Christian man, or it could be within the church, it could be one who we would think is prominent just because of a position, which is not scriptural at all, but we would look at someone because of a position that he's in a prominent, he's more held in higher esteem than someone else. And we know the scripture tells us, hold the lowest brother in the highest esteem. But so if we can make comments about our own struggle with sin, and then it would make me feel good if you are struggling with the sin that I'm struggling with. And so if we confess our sins one to another, it's to help one another, not to okay one another. Because just as the president will speak about the Sermon on the Mount, so also, we love to hear someone who might have a struggle, who might have a problem, who might have, and then we say, well, you know, I'm not alone, and it's okay, because that's just how fallen man is. And that's not what Jesus says. That's just not what Jesus says. So we have to look at the scripture, and actually, I looked just this morning in the Thompson Reference Bible, and what we love about that Bible is that it uses scripture to interpret scripture. It just goes from scripture to scripture. We don't need some philosopher to give us his view. And then we follow it just because he said it. And he was a well-known doctor in knowledge of scripture. And so we read all these other interpretations and we form opinions based upon those things. We do. And that's why it's very dangerous to read other writings that take us away from scripture. But looking in the scripture, times we're talking about meekness. And really this chapter here that we read, these 11 verses, is really a description of being meek. You know, to be a meek person, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the meek. And so those are a list of eight. They're called Beatitudes, or a state of bliss, a state of blessing, which is really what Jesus is saying. Blessed are, and he speaks. And he comes to the one in verse 5, he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And if we look at a man who is meek, we read in a hymn that we love dearly, a compilation of hymns in our Zion's harp that speaks of meekness, and we sing it often. Meekness is a virtue. It is a virtue that is gracious. It's every Christian's glory here. So, are you blessed? Because Jesus is blessed are the meek. So that is a conformity to Jesus Christ. Being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ is how you and I are blessed. So the question is, are we blessed? Because if we look at what God gives his creation, we just look outside in the blessings of the beauty of the day, all man can enjoy. And that's a blessing from God. And we say, it's such a blessing. We're blessed, and it gives us joy, and it gives us a happy disposition, and so on. But a state of blessing is the question that I ask myself, and I'd like to leave every one of us here today with a deep, deep looking inside of ourselves to ask ourselves, am I truly a description of a man who is blessed by God? Because in the epistle of Peter, he writes, it talks about the knowledge of God, having the knowledge of God. And so he says, what does God give us? So when we think about blessings, those are all blessings that come from God. There's only blessings that matter. It says, according as his divine power, he hath given unto us all things. All things. So when God says all things, it's everything that is needed. So he says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Who gives it to us? God. So according as his divine right, he's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Okay, so he gives us all things. Now, Paul says, in order to obtain that knowledge, I had to count, he says, all things for loss. How many things? All things. In order to receive all things that pertain to godliness, he had to consider all things that are of this world to be as dung. In order to receive that knowledge. And so, blessed are those who are meek. Meekness is a virtue gracious. It says, in our young, we find it precious. In our elders, still more dear. And so it says, though they, the ones who are meek, the world appraises, they do not sing true meekness's praises. And so we know that the world will lift up everyone who has a power, and the power is by what they have, by their wealth, by their position, and the world sings its praises, his praises. We just heard this past week, I think it was, or recently, of the richest man in the world. He had touched the $500 billion milestone. Half of $1 trillion, one man, has that value in his portfolio. He alone could stamp out world hunger how many times over? And not only him, many, many like that can. There's so much corruption in the world. And so much is being taken away from the poor. And the poor get poorer, as the saying goes, and the rich get richer. And the world praises that. It does. But it says meekness is much more than gold. So all of us have some kind of pursuits in our lives, right? We're working towards some means, something. You have to make a living. You have to have either a career of some kind, whether it is, and you learn a trade, or whether you go to school and make a career in through education. You have to make a living somehow. And we pursue those things. But how much do we pursue that which is worth more than gold? Because it says meekness is much more than gold. And it says, yea, its worth cannot even be told. Okay, so are you a blessed person? Are you blessed? Am I blessed? Am I meek? Do I recognize the value of meekness? And what really is meekness? Because meekness is also listed as a virtue. It's listed as a fruit of the Spirit. So, you know, we could say meekness is gentleness, but gentleness is also described as a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness, joy, it all comes from one who is truly meek. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Be not envious against the workers of iniquity. So, there are those who are very wealthy. Are you ever envious of them? They may obtain their wealth in ways that are not just. It says, be not envious against the workers of iniquity. And don't be anxious. Don't fret yourself over evildoers. You may get a message. You remember Y2K, Y2K, Y2K. Oh, there's going to be hunger. There's going to be, you know, and we're supposed to be all fretting. So don't fret about anything. What are you fretting about? Don't even fret because of evildoers. For this shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither is the green herb. He says, trust in the Lord. And I chose these 11 verses in Psalm 37 to read because I think it really speaks to a man, or describes a man who is meek and one of a meek spirit. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So our trust is always in the Lord, not in my military, not in my arm that I'm going to carry to protect my family. And I don't think it's wrong to take someone's life because they're going to take mine, as if I can save my own life. Trust in the Lord and do good. We never see an example of the disciples arming themselves. Oh, we saw a blubbering Peter slicing the ear because he missed the head of those who came to arrest Jesus. But that's not the way Jesus taught him. And so, to trust in the Lord is to really recognize that we are incapable. of protecting ourselves. We're incapable of providing. We're incapable of everything. Our trust has to be in Him. Is your heart disquieted? Is my heart disquieted when we read the book of Revelation and we hear of a chip or of a, or, you know, a number? We won't be able to buy anything. How are we going to feed our family? It says, don't fret yourself. Don't fret. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Everything that you and I have a desire for, He will give it to the heart. But we have to consider, what is your heart and what is my heart? Is my heart envious of the worker of iniquity? And then God doesn't give me that? But that's the desire of my heart? Well, your desire of your heart doesn't align with the will of God. And God's not going to give you. You know, this morning we read of Lot who chose separation and greener pastures. He chose that, not knowing what the end is going to be. You know, so don't think you're extra smart, that you can foresee the future and know what to carve out for yourself and what you have to do and set yourself up, because you don't know anything. Lot didn't know what he'd end up in. The mess, as was mentioned, that the entire world knows about Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody knows about Sodom and Gomorrah. They might know the details, but they know it was a homosexual land that God rained down fire and brimstone upon and destroyed. Evil. Everyone knows that. Lot's destination that he looked on, the green pastures, took him there. And, you know, I have to admit that it's confusing sometimes, but we have to trust the word, and we have to trust what we read of Lot when we read that. And then we also read him that he is obeying God as he flees Sodom. But and we also read of him in Hebrews, in the chapter of as it's often referred to, the ones who are recognized in the Hall of Fame of Hebrews. But he learned a lesson. He was humbled. Are you and I ready to be humbled by God? Because humbling by God is, and Job was asked that question by God. Can you humble any man? Go try to humble somebody. You can talk to them. You can tell them, hey, you know, you look foolish. You're acting so cool. You're this. A man doesn't recognize pride. A man who is proud does not recognize he's proud. So then the question is, if I'm not meek, how am I blessed? And if I'm not blessed, how am I a Christian? Well, if I'm not meek, that means I'm not in the conformity of Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, am I meek? See how meek was our dear Savior, void of every kind of pride. Every kind of pride. You know, I'm going to repeat this. A brother once told me, he goes, I bought a car, and I drove it, and I found myself looking around to see who's looking at me. He says, and I saw where my heart was, and I got rid of it. He repented. That was a confession of a sin that brought humility and doesn't teach someone else how to sin. He didn't say, it's okay. So what if I'm, he said, I recognized it. So the Savior was void of every kind of pride. He was friendly, he was loving, he was gentle in all things. And from vain glory, he turned it completely aside. So all, as we mentioned this morning, all of the world, all of the things of this world that were in Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. All of those possessions disappeared. So turn aside from them now. Recognize there's no value in them. How much value is in there? None. None. A little bit? None. It says, in his life, none in the life of Christ, none could discover any boastful vanity. There's none to be found. It doesn't matter what you drive. It doesn't matter if you have a little bit of look at me, or if your house has to be bigger than mine, look at me. You are not blessed. You're not. Your house, you might think, is a blessing from God. And it is. All good things are blessings for all to enjoy. But is the richest man in the world so blessed by God that he can be told, he can say to you, I've got $500 billion. I'm so blessed by God. Is that the blessing of God that you and I are looking for? So what does it mean to be blessed? And are you and I blessed? Because that house is not a blessing to me. If I'm looking at it, that it's bigger than yours or better than yours or whatever it is than yours. And if I see you hungry and I don't feed you and I can, and I'm going to be blessed, I'm not blessed. I'm not meek. There's no meekness in me. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37 says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I think it was just this morning. Maybe it wasn't. But recently, maybe it was in a prayer. The heavens and the earth will roll up like a scroll. It's all going to be gone. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. That's what I want to inherit. That's what you want to inherit. Are we going to allow the beggarly elements of this life that will disappear and be destroyed to keep me, as Paul said, in order to receive all things I had to, or as Peter said, that Paul said, I had to consider all things as dung. All things. Peter, again, talks about the value of a meek. He said, speaking of wives, he goes, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and a wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. And listen to what it says, which is in the sight of God of great price. So you know how Paul and Peter just talked about all things that pertain to godliness, all things that are going to rob me from that godliness? And the things that pertain to it, if I hold on to them. Well, that which is, when we speak of God who knows all things, so he knows your heart. He knows if it's meek. He knows your spirit as you adorn yourself with gold and silver, and not necessarily just what is worn around the neck or on the bracelets, but the gold and silver can take place in any way. any way that we adorn ourselves. The adorning of ourselves is the possessions that we have. To show ourselves as better than someone else. And in the sight of God, that which is of a great price is a meek and quiet spirit. That's not what the world will embrace. It just doesn't. So it says, you can't really take the Sermon on the Mount literally. It's far too radical. You know, Jesus talks about if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. So, where is he leading? In the previous verses before that, he talks about if you lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. So, if your hand steals something or touches someone inappropriately, he says, cut it off. Because he's leading you back to what took you there. If your eye offends you, to see that which made you lust, pluck it out. Again, is it the eye? Because you can still hear something which will make you. So where does it all come back to? It comes back to the heart. And he says, I will give you a new heart. It all has to come back to that. The radical Sermon on the Mount that fallen man cannot fulfill, God can. God can. How? A transformation of the heart. A new heart. And he will give us everything. As we read in Peter, Paul also says the same thing in Romans. He says, what shall we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? He goes, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely he will give you all things that pertain to godliness, that will humble you. You know, it's far, far, far easier to read the Word of God and to look and say, I think there's some pride in me. In light of the Word, don't compare yourself to nobody else, just the Word. Paul says we're fools when we compare ourselves one to another. So when you're comforted, if you hear I've sinned, or you've heard someone else sinned, that, well, you know, I can still keep doing that then, because others are doing it too. You're a fool. I'm a fool. But he says here, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. So it's far easier for me to commit myself unto the Lord, to see, not comparing myself to man, but comparing myself to the Lord Jesus. He said, I am meek. Learn of me. You're not going to learn meekness from no one but Jesus. So commit our way unto him. Because when he humbles us, it's a lot more painful. But praise God when he does. As much as it may hurt, because he does it for your good. So that he can bring you to a state of meekness, so that you can inherit the earth. commit thy ways unto the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of thine heart, the things that you ask for that are of his will. He says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Patience. You know, how many times do we say, well, that's not something I have. I don't have patience. As if that's okay. It's not okay. That's one thing I don't have is patience. Don't be proud of that. And don't gloat in that. And don't say it so lightly. Say, I don't have patience. Why? Who am I committing my way to? Why am I so impatient? Why am I so short with my fellow brother or my fellow sister? Why don't I have patience? Why can't I commit my ways and rest in him and wait for him? Again, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Don't worry about it. And he says, even because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. We know there's so much evil around. There's so much evil that is available. There's so much that is being brought out that is destroying mankind, destroying the mind and the body and everything. And there's wicked men who are bringing out these devices and things to bring them. They could care less about the man that they're going to destroy as long as it makes them rich. He says, don't even fret over that. Don't fret over those men. He says, don't fret over because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do any evil. Because the only way you're going to resist evil is to do evil. So don't fret yourself over it, or else you're going to commit it. Because he said, evildoers will be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Again, there's the blessing. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Dear ones, as we contemplate, as in this hymn writer, it continues, it says, so to us the Lord doth speak. This is what the Lord is saying. After we just, and again, this hymn was taken completely straight out of Scripture. That's what makes the Zion's harp so beautiful. As we read it and sing these hymns, those are all Scripture-based. And it says, so the Lord doth speak, learn of me, for I am meek. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the righteous that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so on. And then he goes on, he says in verse 3, and this is something that the world looks upon a man who is meek as a loser. God looks at a man who is meek, and it's of a high price. And so who do you want to please? Who do I want to please? Truly, meekness greatly blesses and obtains the Father's grace. You need grace. I need grace. You're not going to get it by being proud. But that's what Christianity wants to impress upon us. You can go on sinning. Grace will cover all sin. Go on sinning. But James doesn't say that. He said, God resists the proud. That means the one who is sinning, God will resist him. Imagine being resisted by God. But he gives grace to the humble. To those who are meek, God gives grace. You need grace. I need grace. He only gives it to us if we are meek. Truly, meekness greatly blesses and obtains the Father's grace. Again, that's straight from the Scripture. Who this virtue here possesses, knowing her most fitting place, will in all his deeds find favor. How many of his deeds? All of his deeds. Because he's in living in the conformity of Jesus Christ. And his soul is gracious, and his soul is glorious ever. Faith, hope, love, and gentleness do a heart of meekness bless. That's what blesses us. A heart of faith, hope, love, gentleness. It all comes from a heart that is meek. You're proud, you're not going to get that. Do you struggle in life? Do you struggle? Do you feel that you just can't overcome things, and so you have to write some sins off as not that big because I just can't overcome? Is because you're not meek. I'm not meek. If that's our struggle, we're not meek. But we want to be blessed. I haven't found anywhere in Scripture yet where God says, you can learn of me, who I was, and you can look at me and say, yeah, but I can't be that way, so accept me as I am. That we don't find that anywhere. Learn of me, Jesus says. A meek and a lowly Jesus says, learn of me. I am meek of lowly heart. And I am meek and lowly of heart. That is what God looks at, the values of a great price. Its worth cannot be told. You want to be rich? Richer than the richest man in the world. Be meek. You'll inherit that which he won't. Which no man will, unless they look at the words of Jesus and follow him. So my prayer for myself and all of us today, dear ones, is as we seek continually God's blessings in our prayers, as we look at a state of blessedness, what does it really look like? It's not always the pursuit of things that you can feel, touch, and see. No, it's the inner heart that gets transformed, that gets made new, from which all the sin that I can do with my hands, my eyes, my brain, and my everything else that comes from the heart that gets regenerated, transformed, made new, a new mind, a mind in Christ, and so on. God gives it all to those who seek it and count all things but loss to obtain all things that are godly. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
Jesus says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And we take great comfort in that. And so we see and we read this afternoon, of this truth, that of this word that will not pass away, that God, in the sight of God, of great price, is a quiet and a meek spirit. That's a great blessing. And it's a truth. And we should receive it into our hearts and take it with us. This is what God prizes and is of great value to him. And so I just reread that last verse that we read this afternoon. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. We can have peace, a great peace, when we yield ourselves to the Lord. The only thing that weakness and meekness have in common is that they rhyme. Meekness is the power of God. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, all power was given unto him, and yet he yielded himself in meekness to his Father's will, and great power was given unto him. The Lord will richly bless us when we rid our lives of pride and walk in the meekness of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.